It is now my pleasure to introduce to you Stefan Vetter. Stefan Vetter is from Switzerland, from the University of Zurich. And we were quite intrigued when we found out about the work of Stefan Vetter. The title of his talk is Online Self-Evaluation as a Public Mental Health Tool After a Large-Scale Disaster, Prospects and Limits.
Ladies and gentlemen, good afternoon. It's my honor and pleasure to be here in Montreal and speaking to you this afternoon. To start with public mental health or public mental health system, I would like to introduce you Switzerland. Switzerland is a country with 7.5 million inhabitants. We have 26 different health system, public health system. They are state-based. And we know that since the First World War, the tool of the coordination of the public health system. This is a federal task. There's one man in charge. He has all his specialists. I'm the psychiatrist in this team, so I'm the psychiatrist who has to coordinate all 26 public mental health system if there is a large-scale disaster. And this is also, first, the reason why I'm quite publicly known, and because I'm publicly known, health insurance companies, the 10th biggest in Switzerland, approached me after the tsunami 2004 and asked me to gather for them psychologists which are able to visit their insured person which have been to the tsunami region. Now we have another reality than Canada. We have one psychiatrist on 800 persons in our country, and we have one psychologist on 1,000 person in our or inhabitants in our country. But most of them, they are not trained in psychotraumatology. They are not trained in assessment yet, and especially they are not willing to leave their offices because they are very overloaded. You have a waiting time of 3 months, so they are really fully booked. What we started now, which is also something we did not on the internet but with the law, with the legislation, it's now the universities are obligated, or it's mandatory that they teach their pre-graduates in these techniques. So you learn as a medical, when you are in medical school, you have to learn one day how to diagnose people who are in a post-traumatic situation or have survived a potential trauma. Disclosure. I have no conflicts of interest to declare. I even have to say that first the health insurances wanted to pay us, but when we have done it for them, because our suggestion was then not to gather psychologists but rather to have more abstinent approach in giving the possibility to their clients to screen themselves, they said, well, it's mainly the university who profits, so that they do not pay the amount of about 8,000 Canadian dollar we wanted from them to have. So they got something for free, actually. The impact of the disaster on mental health, I will make a little repetition for all those who are not so common with this data. Directly after, you have between 21% of subsyndromal acute stress reaction, 7 to 13% acute stress reaction, and about 29% other psychiatric disorders. These are people who have been mentally ill before, or these are new episodes. What is striking is that within half a year, most of this pathology will vanish without doing nothing, and therefore, especially in my country, is a very vivid discussion if we really need first intervention and if we really need screening and monitoring of this clientele, respectively of survivors of psychotrauma. Just 5% of the population probably develops a post-traumatic stress disorder in the end. These are also thoughts, the UK NICE guidelines, probably some of you will know. Let them recommend that just high-risk persons or individuals should be screened. These are disaster survivors, direct disaster survivors, and rescue or medical personnel or helpers in the surrounding of the disaster site. This kind of screening, before we did it, there was not much on evidence out how well this can be done and if a screening on the internet is as valid and reliable like real screening in person when you go to a doctor's office and you do their psychometric test. But what we knew from, I will come to two of these studies from before, is that really that it might be done. So we decided we will just try it. For logistical reasons, a comprehensive routine screening by the telephone is simply not possible. When you have a population of 7.5 million and you take a region like, for example, Basel. Basel has a lot of earthquakes, and in the 13th century the city was destroyed. So nowadays there would be about 120 to 250,000 survivors we would have to care for, and when you have to make phone calls you really need a lot of specialists. So the human resources are for sure a problem. Then we do not know who to call, and in the end you wouldn't reach them because probably the telephone lines would be broken down. The internet was for us a new screening opportunity, and for us was really important that it's offering anonymity, low costs, low expensive in personnel, because you really can make routines, and survivor must not be contacted actively, but they can use it if they really are in need. The disadvantages of such a screening is that it's highly standardized, it's exclusively a self-assessment. Differences in accessing groups in the population, you have for sure biases with the age and with the gender, validity of the reports, and it's rather so that highly symptomatic individuals will look for such a possibility. So when you want then in your convenient sample to make research, you have some problems. So as many of my of the speakers in the afternoon or in the last 2 days, I also say it's usable to make follow-up studies with several waves. When we were starting an internet-based instrument, we found one study from the Pentagon, and there was an internet-based instrument in use for the personnel of the Pentagon, and it was quite well accepted by the survivors, but they had difficulties because the server was like having freezes several times because too many employees or survivors were trying to fill out their tests or evaluation at the same time. After Hurricane Katrina, there was another study, and there also the result was that web-based screening is helping, and another point which was really showed was that it's especially a well opportunity for those who are out of reach or of access of other kind of mental health care. So the tsunami, worldwide there were about 230,000 casualties and 110,000 missing persons. In the first week, 3,800 Swiss citizens could not be contacted, and the family members were really worried where they are. Most of them were in the States or somewhere else and not in the tsunami region, because we had the holiday seasons and they were just in holidays. 2,000 to 3,000 tourists there, we have no good numbers. This depends on the source you're looking for, were approximately affected, so in the region where the tsunami really struck. What we know now is that we had 110 Swiss casualties and we had 100 Swiss severely injured. They had to be brought back by ambulance airplanes. So immediately after, we started to develop a tool we called ONSET, Online Self-Evaluation Tool. And we called it evaluation tool and not screening tool, because we were planning it as a first-time screening and then as a monitoring tool, so that you could come back and retest you, especially when you were in a symptom load which was not clearly pathologic already, but not nothing at all. It was generally available. We wanted having it online just 1 month after the tsunami, so on January 26th this was not possible, because in testing and retesting the application we found so many little mistakes or things which were not working, so it took more time for our IT people to put the application up. So we wanted to have it from the second month till the sixth month, so this window where you really expect the first PTSD cases, and then where you also expect that late onset in this period could happen. It was high visible in Switzerland and throughout Europe. Actually, in Switzerland it was the media campaign of 2005, so no other media campaign had higher attention than this onset had. In Italy, France, and in Germany, the surrounding countries, they were more the intellectual medias for the higher educated that were reporting about onset, and therefore we found later on also different educational levels in people not from Switzerland. In Switzerland we have the same education level as we find normally in the population. It was primarily a tool, not for research, but to support people. So it's like a compromise between practical relevance to bring people to a state that they can agree that they might have a problem, and to give them the chance to act against stigma of psychiatry or psychotherapy, and to get in contact with the mental health professional. The questionnaire had 65 questions. It took an average 12 minutes time to use it, and it included sociodemographic information, what kind of exposition you had during and after the tsunami, so what was post-traumatic for you. And here the biggest bias of the later for the studies, we did not ask if they have been traumatized before. We just forgot it. Would have been one question, have you been traumatized before? We didn't ask that. From the pathology, we were screening PTSD, depression, anxiety, OCD, and substance use. It was available in four languages, German, French, and Italian, as our national languages, and in English, which will be Next year, probably the fourth national, main national language we will have by constitution in Switzerland. We took it in 2005 in our application because we were thinking when we are on the World Wide Web, we have to present it also in English. Nowadays, the third version of ONSET is available in 13 languages. So we have all major European languages. The tools we are using now are translated, retranslated, and validated in the 13 major languages of Europe. It was totally anonymous, so you did not have to give any information about yourself, not even email address. And this was a little bit difficult for our users because when they lost their self-created, by fantasy, self-created login and password, they were writing us and said, please send us the login or the password or whatsoever. And we couldn't match this because we had no email address. We didn't know who was who. So some people, for sure, are like twice or three times in the database because they had to generate a second or third login. The data I'm speaking about you now, or we'll see, we took only the screenings of the people when they did it the first time. So we haven't analyzed yet the those people who were retesting themselves regularly, which were about 28% of the population using the test. The result was very simple. We were not speaking about you have a depression, you are suicidal, you have an anxiety disorder, or you have a PTSD. We just said that the level of pathology or symptomatology is is high enough that we really would suggest you to get in contact with your GP or with a mental health professional. In Switzerland, because you wait 3 months till you can go to a GP, to a mental health professional in average, we recommended first to get in contact with the GPs because they have gatekeeping function and they get you faster into the system than yourself. You can do it yourself, but it just takes more time. As you have seen it here, everyone could print out a PDF of their test results, and it was even a description for the GP on it how the raster was to interpret it. So we told them, go to the GP, or we told them the test is not that clear, so please come back in a fortnight and test you again. Or we said, oh, you're totally in a green area, don't worry, sleep well, have a rest, and God with you for the next years and days to come. In the end, when they reported us all their symptoms and all their behavior, so they knew what they have answered. We asked them if they would like to participate in a kind of study, in giving us the informed consent that they allow us to use this report, self-report, to integrate in our database. When they said yes, then came a new web page, and there they could read for what they will consent. And then when they said yes again, there came a new page, and there they had to say yes again and to retype a code which was in the form of a picture so that no automated program could fill this out. What we wanted is first to check how efficient such a screening tool or monitoring tool is, and secondly, if we can give some information on the level of public health aspects. So what have we gathered? The date of registration, date of use, and the time of use the time needed to finish the screening, the country of residency, if somebody is Swiss citizen, the gender, age, civil status, and highest finished education. We had a lot of Swiss companies who were calling us and said, it's outrageous, our people are not on Facebook, they are on your site, and we lose time. So we were checking when people were testing themselves. You can say 90% were testing themselves between 8 o'clock in the evening and midnight. So not at work, because in Switzerland we work from 7 till 5, and then we go home, make dinner normally. The country of residency, and if you're a Swiss citizen or not, we are really an immigrant country, so only about 60% are really Swiss, have really a Swiss origin, and 40% are from all over the world. And as many of you might know, you bring for two generations a PTSD risk with you from the country you have been. We in Switzerland have a very low PTSD risk. This is a problem for all PTSD researchers in Switzerland, because the study shows that we probably have a life prevalence from 1.2 up to 3%. We are quite a safe country. The exposition during and after the tsunami, we asked the people, you have here the question, we asked them if they were directly in the tsunami, if they have survived it. We asked them if they have been injured, if they lost family or friend, if they have family or friends which were injured, and we asked them if they lost property as well. And property, we were not meaning just the suitcase, but if they had an apartment down there at the beach, stuff like that. Here you see the PTSD scale, the PTSS10. Some of you will know it. It's a scale which were developed in Norway for screenings of the population after larger disasters. 10 questions. When you have more than 12 points, so 13 or more, it's an indication that you might have PTSD and that you should get a clinical assessment. Depression scale, we were a little bit in a hurry, so we asked several authors of depression scales to give us the right that we can use their tools. We didn't get the very positive answer in time, so they came after 2 to 3 months. So after 2 weeks, when I haven't heard anything, I took my personal expertise and DSM-4, and we constructed own scale. The scale has been validated in student population during it was running in and later during with student populations, with clinical populations, and with general representative population in Zurich. So we have now a new tool. It has 6 questions and the Alpha Krombach of 0.92. Here you see a screen print. We really tried to be very, very simple. It's in German. I couldn't find the PDF of the English version of this page anymore. And we just asked them if their consume of alcohol changed, and if of the substance of alcohol, tobacco, medication, drugs, cannabis was changing and elevating, increasing. We had 4,161 users registering themselves. 3,313 completed the screening totally. So you could, after each screen, you could stop. So when you had PTSD, you got some information and some people, although it was only 12 minutes, they didn't finish it at all. Users from 61 countries, 5 continents, and 2,921 gave us their informed consent that we could use their reports for scientific evaluation. 76% were Swiss citizens, 78% were resident in Switzerland, average age 37.5 years old, 17 to 85 years. Reviewers were always criticizing why we started with 17. This was very simple. We had two children screens also implemented, so you could screen the smaller children till 10. You could screen yourself as a parent, and for youngsters between 11 and 16, we had another instrument which was validated for this age group. So we said we cannot leave out the 17 years old. So we just tell them to do the adult screen as well. Surprisingly, we had more male users, 57.5% to 42.5% women using it. Normally, when you look at the literature, it's vice versa. You have more women doing these surveys. 54% were single, 35% were married, and in the whole, here for Switzerland, the education level, which is comparable to what you find in our general statistics. Something else was striking. We had 59% who had no tsunami exposure. And here we come back to the topic of the new graphic medias. We don't know exactly where they have been traumatized, but many people were using it which were traumatized somewhere else, and we found out one specific group because one day a secretary from the Turkish embassy was calling us and was complaining that so many Turkish citizens which are living in Switzerland are calling them and making them reproaches that we did something like this, and when the earthquake was in 1999 in Turkey, that they were not doing a screening themselves. So, and we had a lot of testimonies from Turkish citizens living in Switzerland that they are very happy that they could use the screening tool because they were they had flashbacks when they were seeing pictures from the tsunami because it looked so alike what they have seen in Turkey after the earthquake. But this is for sure a bias, and we changed this for in the new versions. We have their trauma scale or trauma history you have to fill out. These are T-transformed scales, so you see the magnitude of PTSD in correlation with the trauma, so being injured yourself or having loss in your or injury in your family are bad predictors, or we're lifting increasing PTSD scores. The loss of and injury of family was so a change in the social network were a little bit more predictive for depression, and anxiety pathology was more frequent when you have been injured yourself, and magnitude of OCD pathology, which we found predominant in men, was in all three factors, injured oneself, loss, injury of families, and also loss and injury of friends. Substance use, here again, injured oneself and loss and injury of family are risks in increasing the scores. And here you see the intrusive the intrusiveness we can show with our data is really the highest intrusiveness you have when you have been injured yourself, then when you have been survivor, then a loss and injury of family, loss and injured friend, and no exposure. So, as you probably would expect yourself when you think about it. Here, the correlation between the subscales, and that's a little bit the limitation. I would say the symptomatology of rather freshly traumatized individuals is very wide, so they are overlapping. And I think this is also the problem we have in diagnostics with this group of patients, or potential patients, better said, that they really feature a wide range of symptoms. A short summary is that after large-scale disasters, such internet-based intervention tool or instruments seem to find a good response in the population. It's a valuable supplement or complementary tool to the conventional intervention strategies we have in public mental health after such disasters. Nevertheless, we can say ONSET was used by plenty of tsunami survivors, and we can say from our analysis, especially also from data we got later from specialized polyclinics who were doing diagnostics of screened individuals, that we have a high specificity. Well, you know what I mean. I'm very sorry, it's late, and sometimes my English has a knot in my tongue. But even those users with no tsunami exposure showed a higher pathology. I will show this in the second part of my talk. And we think that really such data is not very valuable for epidemiologic studies because it's really a convenience sample, and you cannot control, especially when you don't have any data anyway to approach your cohort or your group, your participants. Would like a little bit to speak more about the psychiatric impact of the tsunami. Why we had so many kind of pathology screened, and not only PTSD, because we knew that really PTSD is there, but also major depression, anxiety disorder, substance use and addiction, and the earlier you start to intervene, especially for example with latter, you can change dysfunctional behavior, and maybe no abuse or addiction will really develop. With major depression, for me was always very important that people who have major depression might have also not only intrusive thoughts but suicide ideation, and what's more clear in literature is that these suicide ideation in form of visual intrusive thoughts are very common in people featuring PTSD symptoms but also major depressive symptoms after the tsunami. In our population, close to 19% of our users had suicide ideation. And this was a single item which was clear that they were asked to get urgently in contact with their GP and to speak about this symptom. This is also one reason why I say that screening and monitoring is has to be done, not only in high-risk populations, but in a general population, because we know from a wide evidence literature that when you visualize something that you will do, that the chance that you really do it, they are, for example, visualizing to go voting or electing, is rising the chance that you really do this by 80%. So when I have visual suicide images, I do not want to know how many people really will try and get into a suicide behavior. So I think from a public mental health perspective, we should really refocus also on the other problems combined with trauma, psychotrauma, and not only study PTSD, because it's so neat to do that and it's much more simple just to focus on one thing. We were a little bit surprised when looking about the prevalence in after natural disasters you find in populations. You have after natural disaster low prevalences, normally between 4 to 10%, moderate to high prevalence 24% after Hurricane Katrina. There you can say that the diaspora, the relocation, is probably one very important factor that was leading to that. But when you go to mudslides coming down in Peru, you find 87% of people developing afterwards a PTSD. So we do not know, actually. It has to do probably we probably will find different numbers after each natural disaster and how we deal with this disaster afterwards. Gender and age are personal characteristics. Event relevant to the characteristics is the magnitude of the exposure, damages of the social network and structures, as the translocation, as we have seen that when family members died or are injured and away from the family, that this has an impact which is not probably not that favorable. Worldwide, Neuner from Ulm was making a meta-study or review in collecting all studies about the tsunami, and we have all over the world a prevalence in survivors between 14% and 39%. Again, depending the magnitude, severity of the exposure they had, loss of a family member and earlier traumatic experiences. And this we could replicate also in our data, not with earlier traumatization, but when we were calculating these subqualities of trauma together, the more it was multiple choice, the higher your choice was. So the more items you qualified for, the higher your PTSD score was in the end. So this building block effect, as it was named by Schauer, is something we could replicate in our data. Here you see PTSD or pathology in onset user again. Maybe here it's a little bit easier to see than before. I will click through. We made these analyses on a different population. We did subsampling because we really took only those who had really survived or been injured themselves, loss, injury of the family, loss of property. So somebody, we restricted the analysis to those who had a trauma in relation or traumatic experience in relation with the tsunami. And here you see that most of them had several exposure types. And here you see also that this building block effect, that the more types of subtypes of exposure you have, that the higher your PTSD score was. We run multiple regression models, and here you see that when you have been male and that you have been Swiss, that you have a lower chance to have a high score. This is protective. And when you are divorced, also findings from the general trauma literature, that you have higher chances as well as number of exposure and loss of family members. Then we did some studies, or one study, better said, about the changes in substance use and impact with the tsunami. Here we took, we stratified the analysis on onset user, just resident in Switzerland. We included the others because we were thinking that drug consumption is culturally influenced and is also dependent to the availability and the resources, the financial resources you have to buy a drug, so illegal drugs. So we restricted that to Switzerland, especially because we know this circumstances best. These are the questions we asked, and you saw before, but this time in English. And here you see increased substance use. We didn't want it to say, well, you have really a problem. We just wanted them to go to the GP and say, hey, I'm using now too many sleeping pills. Is this dangerous? And to discuss that with the GP. It was, by the way, the highest, had the highest frequency from the feedbacks of GPs that people came because they were qualifying or they got the message, go and speak about your substance use with your GP. What we saw is that women and men were very different in using drugs, that this is less selective with men, but rather selective with women, what kind of substance they increase depending the exposure. Number of exposure or score in the PTSD scale. To end in the next 15 minutes, 10 minutes, I would speak about further experiences we had with onset. The first thing was that most users were using it in the first 6 weeks when it was available, and only 15.5% were using it in a kind later as first-time users. So you really had a very fast decrease of users or new users over the time. As I said already, the timestamps prove that it was used in the evening, so in the privacy of the homes. The modern graphic media news coverage really brought pre-traumatized individuals to re-experience, especially intrusive symptomatology. And modern graphic media also were very funny because they asked families to use and reuse onset, and they were filmed, and you could see that in the in the news main news 8 o'clock in the evening. And what was there something striking was that from the outside the mothers were always the most stable person in the family because they showed what they did and what problems they have, but in the screening test the mothers were always those with the highest scores. Because there were some politicians which have, they are right-wing, ultra-conservative, and they think that a real Swiss can't be traumatized, and that this is just something stupid from modern scientists and that modern science just want to generate costs and no benefit, especially in this domain, costs in helping, asking for invalid pensions and costs in testing themselves and not working and stuff like that. So there was a very, very vivid and not always friendly discussion, public discussion about how useful such a tool would be. And we did some cost analysis with the numbers we have from our public mental health system, so how much somebody costs who has a PTSD, how much, how many sessions in average somebody gets when he has PTSD in psychotherapy and stuff like that. And we took the costs we had and we were showing that that we saved $25 per US dollar we were spending in putting this actually up. So the cost benefit is very high. I have to say this is theoretically because you cannot expect that everyone who has been screened really go into therapy. But nevertheless, in Switzerland we have a wide range of first interventions in the first 2 weeks, and then everyone starts to forget about the traumatized because daily life is starting to be back. And we know that most PTSD patients, they arrive 1 year and a half later at their psychotherapist. So you have a very long period where they are not that functional, where they are suffering and where it's simply not getting better. And this is another vote from my side that we should really screen and monitor people because I think it's useless suffering, especially when you think that early interventions do not take 25 sessions, which is afterwards used in Switzerland in average to help somebody to have less symptoms. But as some speakers before me were telling, 5 to 6 sessions there are enough to bring them on a quite functional level, back on a quite functional level again. General practitioners liked this tool, especially because they had a printout and they could call us and we told them what to do. So they afterwards we really had like a wave of trainings because they came to us and said, "Let us, we want to have a better training." We also trained them actually in screening people with a high load of somatic symptoms for PTSD, because this is something else I think which is a general problem with PTSD patients. They go to their practitioner, and because they suffer from chronic stress or chronic stress disorder, they don't speak about intrusion and nightmares, or very rarely, because they are at the GP. They speak about the gastritis they have, they speak about headaches they have, they speak about their high pressure they have, and so on. And they get pills for gastritis, pills for headaches, and they get pills for their high blood pressure, but they don't get really a PTSD treatment. It was for many users very important that Onset was developed by a kind independent institute, but which was also affiliated with the state somehow. So we didn't had HON declaration or stamp on the site, but because the institute I'm running is half paid by the university, which is a state run or financed, and half financed by different departments of the federal government. So it was something official and people like that very much, especially in Italy, so because we had a lot of testimony from Italy which said we would never use Italian side, but because you are Swiss, we use that, you have quality, we know you have this. So Swissness maybe was also just in the countries around us a point why to use this instrument. Some users experienced onset as a kind of recognition by the society that they really were traumatized, that something happened. And now we really are confronted with it that in Switzerland we have very strict laws or legal situations. So at the moment, several years after, several people are fighting to get an invalid pension from what they suffered from. And here we have testimonies from people who went to a specialized clinic with our screening test, and then they were clinically reassessed. So we have about 50 cases where we really can say this were our screening results and this were then the clinical assessment results. So we know that they were very accurate, and people now do not understand, and we have to do a lot of expertises for the courts at the moment, because in Switzerland you have not only to prove that the incident is in general a traumatic incident, you also have to prove that no other incident than this incident is causing your PTSD, and that's sometimes really very, very hard. So it's not really a fair legal situation, but the jurisdiction is afraid that they have to open funds which are not there, that they really would have to spend too much money, and nobody could afford that. As I said already, about 18% reported suicide ideation. I will not cover this anymore. This is about what I like to tell you tonight or this afternoon, and I thank you very much for your patience and attention. If anybody has a question, please.
My question is related to your cost-benefit analysis. I'm not sure I understood well. Did you, in one way or another, able to follow how many people who took your screening test actually sought early brief intervention? I mean, what is the basis for your calculation of 1 to 25?
No, we published one paper in Trauma Management and Outcome, Journal of Trauma Management and Outcome, which was a theoretical paper, what might be the possible costs of such an instrument, also for society, for the industry, for economical environment, and what are the possible benefits. And this was a theoretical paper, so that you can take from your country your numbers and fill them in, because in Switzerland psychotherapists cost maybe more than in India, and it's less loss when somebody's not going to work. So you have to adapt that. And for Switzerland, we did then with our numbers, we have a cost analysis, and these numbers are based on that.
Yes, I understand that, but then it is just your assumption that if people went to get the
it's
early
theoretical
brief intervention,
assumption, and it's also assumed that everybody takes it. Yeah.
Yeah, but then you assume because people took the onset that then they would go early to
we know that some did. We don't know how many did. What we know that people were not going in their regions. They went to the centers. So we had people from the Grisons, which is 120 kilometers from Zurich. All they came to the centers in Zurich. They didn't want it to be treated by their family GPs, family doctors, or their local hospitals.
This was a wonderful talk and a wonderful study. Having done a couple of post-disaster studies myself, I'm very impressed that you had this up and running in 2 months. That's very fast. Once you had ONSET up and running and all the bugs worked out, since then there have been a few other disasters, including the recent earthquake in Italy. Katrina happened in the September after the tsunami. Have you thought about making it available for future disasters? It sounds like all you would really need to do would be to change the word tsunami to earthquake or hurricane.
Yes. Well, we were developing. We are now running the third version. We are running the third version exclusively for our special operational forces we have abroad, to have a really standardized standardized setting with standardized and pre-screened, clinically pre-screened population, to have a better understanding what the new instrument really is working on. We have in Switzerland 150 of such individuals in special operational forces. So this is running at the moment. We had a version the second version was ready last year for the European soccer championship, and therefore we got the money to retranslate the new instruments and to validate them in these 13 languages. We also changed a lot. We took out OCD. We will not screen for OCD anymore, and it's not a PTSD screen, but we have developed a screen which is able to differentiate between ASD, so acute stress disorder, and PTSD. Validated and everything. I think this is important, and we do not start with pathology now, but we use the CD risk, so the Connors Davidson resilience scale, and we first give a message how resilient people are. So we tell them, hey, bravo, you have this kind of resilience, good news, but let now see what's on the level of symptomatology. So this is now running. I talked before in the break. We were so lucky that nothing happened during the European soccer championship, because the test was ready. But when we run then the IT solution, the platform was a disaster. So it was much too complicated, the result that a large public. Well, students were able to use it, but the large public probably wouldn't have run well. So we are working on that.
You were anticipating a soccer disaster? Can you explain? What's the connection with soccer?
1 minute, very shortly. There were Al-Qaeda was posting that they will make biological attacks in the stadium. So it was developed for that.
Losing the soccer championship in and of itself may not be a traumatic event. Okay.
No. Well, it depends how much a fan you are. Not for me
Brazilian
at all.
For Brazilian, maybe.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Dr. Vetter, for a great talk. I just want to let you know that the bus for the metro will be leaving in just a few minutes. So those of you who are going to the metro, please proceed as soon as you can to take the bus. Those of you going to the Saint-Paul Hotel, just stick around for about 15 minutes, and the bus will pick you up. Alors les gens qui veulent prendre le métro, je vous inviterai à aller tout de suite prendre le bus. Et ceux qui vont à l'hôtel Saint-Paul, vous restez dans le coin pendant 15 minutes, et puis ensuite, on viendra vous chercher. Je voulais vous dire aussi que ceux qui logent au Saint-Paul ce soir, l'autobus va quitter à 8 heures demain matin pour venir ici. Those of you at the Saint-Paul Hotel, the bus is leaving tomorrow at 8 o'clock. We figured we would let you sleep a little more. And Saturday, after the conference, we have a wine and cheese event. Alors demain, après la conférence, si vous restez dans le coin, on a un vin et fromage pour terminer ça en beauté. Bonne soirée tout le monde!